sing-along time with Eddie Ponder and John Reese here on BluePower.com. Tonight, I have the privilege of having a very dear old friend sitting across from me. His name is Eddie Ponder, Edward the Pounder.
Thank you, Johnny. Glad you still remember.
I most certainly do. How could I forget? What we're listening to right now, ladies and gentlemen, is Sneaky Pete, right? And yourself. And Skip Batten,
The late Skip Batten is playing bass. Art Johnson, also on that track, playing guitar.
Yeah.
It was something we thought we could revolutionize the music industry with at that particular time. I don't know what we were smoking, but it's... Obviously.
It was good, wasn't it?
It was good.
Sleepwalk. How I love to sleepwalk.
This I've done it a time or two myself.
Catch yourself walking in your sleep. You could be in big trouble, right, Eddie?
All the time. And if I can just catch myself.
Yeah, right. Don't step off any high buildings.
Right.
This is John Reese with BluePower.com, and today we're sitting with Mr. Eddie Ponder. And Eddie's been a friend of mine for years. He's a wonderful musician. A tremendous drummer, plays vibes, plays percussion, and we have done a lot of damage together, have we not, Eddie?
Been many hours in that studio, I tell you what.
Yeah.
The dark hours.
Oh, yeah. Always 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Seemed to be the best time for me.
And into Southtown for fried chicken.
Oh, and greens and cornbread. Oh, my God.
Those are mighty good times, man. Mighty good times.
Yes, sir.
Eddie, you've been a musician almost all your life, haven't you?
Up till now, yeah.
Yeah? Well, you're still a musician.
Yeah.
Yeah?
My life ain't over yet, though.
That's true. You're not on the road all the time now.
No, I'm not. Thank God. I gave that up, to become a father.
Yeah?
One of the things in life that you find out that is more important than you are, and you have to pay attention to it. So
yeah.
I took 19 years off the road, so to speak.
Responsibility.
Till my son grew up, yeah.
Yeah. No, I can totally relate. I mean, I was never that big on the road as you were. I hated the road. But you did a lot of road time.
Oh, you get used to it, though. You know, you get your favorite restaurants and your favorite little towns and...
Yeah, well, and it can be fun, too, for a while.
Well, yeah, everything can be fun for a while, even candy.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
But much is much.
Well, tell me, you were born where?
I was born in Florida, actually. That's where we used to say Georgia. That's up north.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty far south, down in the... Hurricane Belt, Fort Myers, Florida.
Fort Myers. That's on the...
That's on the West Coast.
On the West Coast, on the Gulf side.
On the Gulf side, yeah. As a matter of fact, I was born in a hurricane, so they say. That one hot August.
What date was that, man?
That was August 16th, and that was 1941.
41, you and I.
Yeah,
man.
We're almost this. Yeah, we're the same. I think
a couple
older.
Months. I'm 2 months older than you.
That's right, and I'm not going to ever let you forget it.
I know. You'll never let me forget it. Anyway, we have Mr. Eddie Ponder on today, and we're going to talk about some good old times, and he's going to talk about some of the times he's had with some of the wonderful people that he has played with in the past. And maybe we can ask him about what kind of drums he uses and what kind of sticks he uses, what kind of heads he uses.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, we're going to go to a little Spanish Harlem right now, and this is Mr. Sneaky Pete Kleino. Spanish Harlem. What a beautiful song. I believe that was written by Lieber and Stoller, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was one of those great Motown hits of the, I guess, the early 60s, was it?
Spanish Harlem was by Benny King on Atlantic.
Right. A great song. His was awfully good, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got to tell us now who was playing.
On this one?
Yeah. Beside yourself, of course.
Let's see. Now, this we did at Al Perkins' studio in East Hollywood, and I think Greg Harris is playing on it. I know Sneaky Pete is on it, and I'm on it, and I think it's the Burritos.
It's the Burritos.
I think it's just the Burritos, yeah. We did it under Sneaky's name. We did a couple of things that way. We did a movie once where we... called Flatbed Annie and Sweetie Pie. It was about two female truckers, and the Burritos did the soundtracks, but we did it anonymously. So we did a bunch of stuff that was kind of like that. We did sessions for other people and as a group, and kind of sneaked in,
hey, man.
Ringer players.
any way to make a living, right?
Man, you know it.
Eddie and I have known each other probably since late 72, early 73. Mm-hmm. And at that period of time, I had a studio in Hollywood called Hollywood Central. And it was a we had no business when we opened it up, and I had met all these great players, and I decided on Tuesday night we would make it a jam night, so anyone that wanted to come and play could come and play.
Yeah.
And man, after a while we gathered some major people.
Man, we did, and had some great sessions there. All live stuff. We did it in, what, two track. It was the greatest thing in the world.
I loved it, man.
That was the best live studio I think I'd ever recorded in.
It was a great room and had a great history.
Yeah.
But we're going to play one of those pieces now. And I think I'll play Smoking and Drinking.
Smoking and Drinking. That was a wonderful night. We actually did a couple of good tunes on that.
Back Jack and Do It Again.
We played
the Steely Dan
Steely Dan tune.
Right.
And we did this, and Doug Haywood was playing bass, I believe.
Yeah.
Michelle Garman was playing piano. Steve Puglisi on Rhodes piano.
Yeah, playing Rhodes.
Two pianos, and then, of course, Rick Kuna.
Playing guitar.
John Brahaney on
fiddle. Right.
And a lady who I've lost contact with, but had one of the most amazing voices that I'd ever heard, named Phoebe Noel.
Yeah.
Yeah, Texas girl.
Yeah.
Man, what a voice.
Now, you got to bear in mind that what we're going to play is very loose, because everybody on the session that night was very loose. It's probably about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning.
At least.
And everybody was just sitting out there. We just taking a break, and everybody was coming back. So nobody knew the tune. And this was written by Phil, what was his name?
I can't think of
it. I think Rick Nate says it in the end of the tune.
He might.
But so we're going to play Smoking and Drinking. If you have your guitars, pull them out, because Rick Kuhn is going to tell you the changes, so that everybody on the session knows, and so will you. So here we go, Smoking and Drinking.
back to end. Smoking and drinking, I have been generally running round. I'm getting high, heaven knows I'm getting high on this old town. Smoking and drinking, living just like cocaine cold, with a feeling inside cannot hide. I gotta get out and let it ride. Let it heavy, oh my, I got some places to be, with this feeling inside I cannot hide. I gotta get out, get out, let it ride. Watching this stumbling world go by, and it tickles me to know that everywhere I go, my Wonder Woman never misses a beat. She never misses a beat. Smoking and drinking, I have been generally running round. I'm getting by, heaven knows I'm getting high on this old town. Smoking and drinking, I'm living just like old King Cole. Got a nimble miss, ain't she? Just love to kiss me. That Wonder Woman's got a whole lot of soul. We'll do some smoking and drinking. Oh yeah. Giving up smoking. Giving up drinking. Back to cruising. Tickles me to know she's my Wonder Woman and I love her so. Smoking and drinking, living just like old King Cole. With this feeling inside I just cannot hide. I gotta get out, let it ride. Let it ride. smoking heavy, oh man. I've got some places to see with this feeling inside I just cannot hide. I gotta get out, gotta get out, gotta get out, let it ride, let it ride. Isn't that a good tune? Phil Freed wrote that song. Phil Freed.
Phil Freed.
Yeah.
Must have been a friend of Rick's.
I think it was. I didn't know him, although I knew Rick at the time. And we were all hanging out with some great songwriters in those days.
Oh, you know? Man. I'll tell you what, there are some moments there when you wish you weren't listening to it.
Oh, yeah.
As a player or someone who worked. And then there are moments of brilliance.
Absolutely.
At the end where Michelle Brauerman just takes off with a stride. And then the other, playing the Rhodes.
Steve Puglisi.
Steve Puglisi.
Yeah. Another Florida boy.
And John Brahaney on his violino supremo.
Yeah, you mentioned that it sounded like a drunken trombone player. And I got,
I'm just kidding, John. I swear to God, I'm just kidding.
Well, John, it was only a metaphor.
But where it comes together, I mean, we're talking about a song that nobody prior to playing this tonight at that time had ever heard the song before except right. Rick Kuna, and so he taught it to everybody. That's the wonderful thing about being able to sit down as a musician and play with other musicians.
Well, one of the great things that about that Tuesday night thing that is that you used to just turn on the tape recorder and we played for hours.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like take one, take two, take five, whatever. Unless we wanted to, you
yeah.
know. But the thing was, you just played,
just
and played and played. And if you
drank beer.
Drank beer and did yeah. other things and played.
Did other things. I did not inhale.
No, I didn't. Well, I got to say I did. I don't know. I'm busted. What can I do?
Yeah, that was a great time.
It was good times.
Tons of people. After we had done it for a couple of months on Tuesday nights, there would be 50, 100 people show up.
The knocking on the doors was almost deafening at times.
Hey, man, I heard there was a jam here.
Yeah.
You know, cats would be out there with horns and all kinds of stuff.
That's right.
Yeah, man. Remember that night we did You're Nuts and I'm Sane?
I wish I'd brought that. I do remember that. Yeah, it's a great...
why don't we play that, Eddie?
Oh, I'm with you.
That's Mr. Doug Haywood, one hell of a bass player and a great all-around guy and an insane writer.
Great writer.
We're going to find this now. It's going to take a minute to dig it up, so we'll be right back.
Okay, one, two, three, four... And I'm saying, ha ha. Your chromosomes must be to blame, ha ha. Tan my hide, buckle my shoe. I'm a lot more sane than you, ha ha. Ha ha. You do things that I would never do. You do things I just don't believe. Believe in the police and you obey the laws. Do what they tell you when they ask you to leave. You're nuts and I'm saying ha ha. Chromosomes must be to blame, ha. Ha, 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 ha. They pretend to look the other way, but they keep their eyes on you every day. They might pretend to be unafraid, but they'll never be safe till their debt is paid.
You're nuts and I'm sane, Mr. Doug Haywood, a marvelously talented gentleman. And that song we did 30-something years ago, didn't we?
Exactly. It was another one of those late-night Hollywood Central parties that we like to call recording sessions. But we knew what the real deal was. It was there for a party.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? We made some great music, made some wonderful music.
Absolutely.
Doug Haywood was Jackson Browne's bass player, wasn't he?
Not only that, but Jackson used to think he was his vocal clone, you know. He did all the harmonies, all the male harmonies with Jackson. He also played organ on some of the Jackson Browne things. He very talented guy.
Wow. Yeah, and all very fun, a lot of fun to be around. Had a great sense of humor.
Great sense of humor, yeah.
So let's see. We go on, and when was it that you joined the Flying Burrito Brothers?
It was in the mid '70s, around 1976, I believe. I joined. I was called to go do a tour, a European tour. Gene Parsons had been injured his wrist or something, and so it was a last minute thing, and I popped in. We went down to the Golden Bear at Huntington Beach, and I joined the band there. One night. We never rehearsed. I just went and sat in, and we played, and then we kept on playing, and then we kept on playing some more, and we went to another place and played, and I was trying to figure out, when are we going to rehearse? But we never did.
Never did. Never had to rehearse, huh?
I guess not.
Do you feel uncomfortable in a situation like that where you can't rehearse, or you just kind of like follow it through? Not much else you can do.
No, it isn't. And I'm a kind of a, you know, go for it guy. I'll walk the edge, you know, I'll stand on the razor blade. I'm okay with that, you know.
Yeah.
Throw me something, let me see if I can hang on.
You've always been able to hang on for me, man.
Well, I've tried a lot of years.
So this next tune we're going to play, there is a fire-breathing guitar player and singer on that. And actually, I thought the singer was a woman, just to show you where I'm coming from.
Uh-oh.
And I did not know until Eddie told me that it is the man who's singing and playing the guitar.
Yeah.
And the name of the song, who is the guitar player?
The guitar player's name is Bobby Cochran.
Bobby Cochran.
Yeah, he was Hank Cochran's...
Eddie
Cochran, Hank Cochran, too. They were all related.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
We got him in the Burritos, I believe, from Steppen. He was playing with Steppenwolf at that time, and then he came and joined our band, and we toured for a while.
Yeah.
But the Burritos were like, they had many players that changed throughout their careers. Some of us went back and forth for years, you know, like I played a lot of albums that Mickey McGee wasn't on, and Mickey played on stuff that I wasn't on, and Jim Goodall played on stuff that neither one of us was on.
Yeah.
You know, there, but kinda. It lasted about probably 8 years.
The band?
Well, I lasted that much with it, yeah.
Yeah, well, this one that we're going to play is a great song. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Cochran wrote this, and it's called...
I Found Love in the Eyes of a Little Girl.
I hope she's not too little, man. She's getting trouble that way, you know what I mean?
That's trouble.
Okay, here's Bobby, and this is a blues tune that a friend of his wrote called I Found Love in the Eyes of a Little Girl. Dig it.
Thank you. as sweet as one woman could be. Look at you, you're as sweet as one woman could be. You put your arms around me. Bobby Cochran. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The Flying Burrito Brothers.
Who would have thought that a bunch of little old white cowboys could play some blues like that?
I know, man. That man can play.
He sure can.
A hell of a player. What's he doing now, do you know?
He's in Nashville, and he's got a production company. I spoke to him not too long ago on the phone. He's got a some sort of production company. He's doing all sorts of great musical things. I can't elaborate on them right at the moment because I can't think of them, but I know that he's doing some great stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what, that was a hell of a band.
It was a hell of a band. It was my favorite band to play with. We had more fun. You know, the idea was to have as much fun as we possibly could.
Yeah.
I remember a review we got one time in Canada, and the review said nothing about, little about the music, but a whole bunch about how much fun we had on stage. And that was one of the best reviews in my mind, because that's what we set out to do. You know, if you have a good time and you're playing and everybody's cooking, if nobody likes it, it's not your fault.
That's right. As long as you're having a good time.
That's it.
That's it. Eddie, in the last years, in the 90s, you did a lot of stuff. But one of the things that I'm most interested in is the fact that you became a teacher.
Yeah. Well, when I got off the road to have a son and to raise a family and stay with him, I needed something to do. And I found this job working in special education with LA Unified, and I found out that all these special ed kids and I have some sort of link up. And the reason why, I believe, and I've thought about this a lot, is because each one of those people is a unique human, and maybe more unique than most of the other people are that are walking around in the world, you know.
Yeah.
They have things that are about them, you know. They have disabilities and things that happen to them and so forth, but that's what makes them individuals. And one of the reasons why I was able to relate to them so much is because we're so much alike. You know, I'm an individual with a disability, and they're an individual with a disability. Hey, let's have a good time. Let's see what we can do.
And you did, didn't you?
Well, I did, and I loved it. I did it till I retired from LA Unified 2 years ago.
Yeah. You had a choir, didn't you?
I had a choir with people who had no idea how to sing. Certainly, singing wasn't exactly what it was all about. It was the joyous noise that they produced. It gave me goosebumps all the time. I mean, to see these guys who can hardly, half of them can hardly breathe, you know, and carry on, but to raise their voices in song and joyous noise was really inspiring.
Did you get a chance to use your musical knowledge with them?
Yeah, I did, as a matter of fact. I was involved in an autistic community. Most of my students that I were involved with were severely autistic, and that's a communication is one of the problems that occurs with people with autism. And so I decided to use music to try to deal with behavior, to try to predict behavior, to try to I used it as a calming agent. I used it to get them ready to go do things.
Yeah.
I got them to lay down and take a nap, listening to Brahms or something, you know. it was great. Once you find out how they relate to it, and each one relates differently. Some people go running off screaming and crying, you know, because they can't stand the noise.
Yeah.
But others were able to, you were able to predict what they were going to do because of the way they related to the music. And it's almost became very magic, very magical and spooky kind of, but it proves that it is a common bond amongst all humans and all animals, basically, but especially amongst humans.
Yeah.
It's one thing that we can all relate to from the beginning to the end.
Well, it must be very rewarding.
Well,
to
it,
do
was.
That and
it was.
To
indeed.
Help kids like that. They
well,
probably
I think,
helped you, too.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know who was helping who, but I had as much fun, I'm sure, as they did. And you know, that's what it's all about. I tried to do what I wanted to have, which was to touch somebody every day, make somebody smile, make somebody laugh, make them feel good, make them hear something musical, make them think something good about themselves, you know. That made me think about myself, you know. It helped me get through my life.
Absolutely. And you have a son, Morgan.
I have a son, Morgan.
And Morgan is how old, 18?
He's 19.
19.
Yeah.
And he's a drummer.
He's a drummer. It's hard to get him started, but once he found out that the girls like drummers, then he was ready to take lessons then. Hey, teach me this, Dad. Okay. Wow.
And he's out playing.
He's out playing. He's got he's in the Generation Z or whatever the new sound is. But he's doing some music himself. He's doing some recording. He's working with two or three little groups, and they're showcasing here and there and having a good time, staying up late at night and recording, just like we did.
Yeah. And your wife Melinda, she's a teacher also.
She is indeed. She works with special education children as well.
Excellent.
She would have to live with me and you know, be married to me for nearly 25 years.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I tell you what, it couldn't be that hard.
Well.
Not that hard.
I don't know. There's some people who say different, however.
Well, listen, what are you going to do now? What do you got in the future? What are you looking at?
Well, now that my son has grown up, I'm looking to go back out on the road and play some more music.
Play some more music.
But actually, really, I want to play some more music. I've got some things that I want to, some concepts that I'm working on. As a matter of fact, I'm working on a little project with you.
Absolutely.
A little duo. We're trying to pare things down to the barest of the bones.
Oh, it's the barest of the bones, all right. Eddie plays an instrument called the cajon, correct?
The cajon, yeah. It's like, you remember when you would see a guitar player play bongos on the top of his guitar, those great birch tops.
Yeah.
Well, somebody made a birch box with sound, with the beautiful sound, tone. And one side has a bass sound, and the other side has a sort of a snare drum sound. And
yeah.
My idea is to be able to play any kind of music that I want to play with this one instrument.
Listen, why don't you pick that up and put it over here on top of it. Let everybody hear what it sounds like.
All right.
Bring it up here. Can you get it?
I got it.
All right. Just set it right up here on the desk. I'll move the chips out of the way.
Yeah, right? Not too far away.
There we go. Let's see here. Here, turn it this way. There you go. So that the hole goes out there. There we go. Then
bass side.
Whoa.
So that's one box.
One box.
And I think I can.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I'm going to be able to do what I need to do with just this one instrument. Simplicity. You know, when you get older in life, you start looking for ways to rid a few pounds, rid yourself of bad habits, change your lifestyle enough to be more comfortable in life. And
absolutely.
This little box came to me for my birthday. My lovely wife gave it to me.
Well,
and we've been making music with
absolutely
it.
Absolutely, we have. And one of these days we'll play you a couple of tunes. We get something put down. Maybe we'll even do it live.
I was going to say, why don't we do some live stuff sometime?
Yeah, that would be a fun thing to do. Yeah. I tell you what, this is John Reese at BluePower.com, and we've been having altogether too much fun with Mr. Eddie Ponder. Many different bands, one of them Flying Burrito Brothers. He's played with everybody on the planet. He has a sheet of paper with about 100 names on it. We don't even go into that. He just played all over the place. But he's a good friend, and we're proud to have him here. So we're going to go out with, what was that Cannonball?
Cannonball Rag.
We're going to go out with a Sneaky Cannonball.
Sneaky Pete Kleinos. Yeah. Cannonball Rag is a great player.
And with Mr. Eddie Ponder playing drums.
Thank you so much.
So it was a pleasure having you, Eddie. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure indeed, John.
Wonderful.
Always.
Talk to you later.
Okay, bud.
Hang on, man. We're going to ride a cannonball right now.